Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District's Board of Education Combined Committee of the Whole Meeting and Regular Public Board of Education Meeting for December 15th, 2015. Call to order. Our opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, Coast Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy, please.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Cattani?
Here.
Mr. Clayton? Mrs. DePalma? Mr. Fiore? Mr. Gardner? Mrs. Garrett Muley? Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Smith? Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale? Mr. Walsh?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the committee of the whole and closed executive session of November 17, 2015, and the regular public meeting of November 24, 2015. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reason for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exists. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yep.
Mr. Serino, do we have a second? Mr. Walsh, any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Cattani?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes, for the 17th. I'll have to abstain for the 24th.
Carried.
Thank you. We'll now move to number 7, our student representative report. And we have Mr. Gianfort and Ms. Palmstein.
This month for student council, we hosted a successful homecoming dance with Thanksgiving Spirit Week. Homecoming games were also a success with the decoration of the hallways, gym, and floats in the parade. No incidents involving students. The hallways were cleaned up and the gym cleaned, and basketball was able to proceed with practice. There's been discussions on new senior trip ideas based on last year's not enough people were provided for the park. Places such as Wildwood, Six Flags, Hershey Park have been brought up. The basketball fan section t-shirt design contest has been hosted by student council, and submissions are still in the process of being collected and chosen. And student council for the Christmas time has also offered themselves to be elves for hire in the community. For $5, a job could be raking leaves for a neighbor, family member, friend, vacuuming a car, walking a dog. And that's about it from student council.
And then from Key Club, we had a very successful Thanksgiving food drive. We provided food such as canned goods as well as turkeys for local families. We ended up coordinating with the elementary schools this year to ensure that we reached as many families as possible. And because of the generosity of the staff members and the school clubs, we will also be providing over 30 gifts for different families this year, thanks to the Giving Tree. And they will be going out for delivery at the end of this week. Other activities the Key Club has participated in: the Candy Cane Hunt in Manasquan, Brielle's Christmas Tree Lighting. We were also elves for Manasquan Town, helping at the Reunion Landing Dinner, tutoring at the elementary school. And also, one of our new projects is running the MHS concession stand for boys and girls home basketball games. So that will be coming up this winter.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Casey?
Yes. I don't want to miss this opportunity to compliment you two as representatives of the student body on record, in audio, for what I observed here the last 2 years. Manasquan has a sense of wholesomeness, if that makes sense to you, a sense of community. Schools in New Jersey are under a lot of pressure to focus on our academics and our 21st century learning, development, and skills. Because of the excellence of the student body and staff, it affords us the opportunity to focus on hall decorating contests, a pep rally that's the only word I could think of is awesome, tree lighting, parades, barn fires, things that some communities wouldn't dare because of fear of the outcome. We happily do it because of who we are, because of who you are, and as you demonstrate to me on a daily basis, that you're here for a wholesome purpose and to develop your potential. From the bottom of my heart, I want us to say thank you, because I really enjoy it, and I think it does a world of good for the whole community. It makes us special. That's why we're magical, truly. Thank you.
Moving on to our presentations, I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Cajun.
And again, focusing on the holiday spirit and in celebration, tomorrow night's going to be epic. Last year when I attended the Lee, is it a choral presentation? Winter festival?
Holiday concert.
Or the holiday concert, as it's known. It was just wonderful. And last year we had the opportunity to hear from the top stick members of the chorus. Is that right, Lee?
That's correct.
Thank you. As we have our meeting before the holidays. And tonight, I would ask Elisa Salicki, Brendan Gillespie, Delaney Heffernan, Mary Gracie Iorio, Rachel Iseri, I hope that's correct, Rebecca Iriseri, Emily Nieberlin, Jackie Phillips, and Maggie Sanchez to come forward. You could stand right here, Lee, or do you want to sing from back there? I want you to be the focal point. As you do so well.
Maybe over by the coffee, because I always do better next to a cup of coffee.
And please have coffee and cookies as well. And they will be singing Here We Come a Caroling, Alleluia Noel, and White Winter Hymnal. And this is dedicated to everyone who is here tonight and as well as our community. Lee, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Weiser.
This is a little bit of a new group tonight. It's Top Stick, but it's just the ladies.
Here we come a caroling in snow so white and clean. We've come to sing our songs to you as plainly can be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you glad Christmas too, and God bless you and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year.
We are your daily beggars, the beggars that
things that we're trying to do with the group this year, the small group, is try to have them build the rapport with each other so that with only 8 people, we don't have to have somebody waving their arms all the time. They get to feel the rhythm and their notes, and so that they can kind of do it on their own. So this is a little bit of a test. Ready?
Jing, jing, jing. Jing, 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 jing.
Tonight with the whole choir up in the auditorium, in the theater. So we've got an evening of work ahead of us. Thank you for inviting us, Dr. Kajian. We'd love to come down and do this. This is a real treat for these guys. This last song, White Winter Hymnal, you've probably heard Pentatonics do it. And if you watch them on the video, and they have a little rhythm. You have to kind of know pentatonics. It's really cool. Look at it sometime when you get the chance. But what we're missing is that guy who sings the real bass part on pentatonics. But we've got the next best thing, two girls who are singing the bass part up an octave. And they're not going to do that. We're working on that. We might get it for tomorrow, but...
Michael, you would fall and turn the whole white snow red as strawberries.
Thank you, Mr. Weiser.
Tomorrow night, if anybody's in the area, we start, the Atlantic Wind Ensemble starts at 7:15 with a little prelude, and then we'll sing about 20 of 8. We'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiser.
Thank you, Reed.
Manasquan Board of Education has selected some Students of the Month. And I'd like to start each presentation of our Students of the Month with exactly our selection process. Our students serve as a role model for their peers. And as you can see, we have an actual photograph. I know it's not Jesse, so you don't have to get upset. Of one of our students actually studying hard for their ARC results, as you'll get tonight. I'm only kidding, that's not one of our actual students, but I figured it was a nice way to start. They are definitely academically motivated, as I alluded to this evening, demonstrate leadership in and out of the classroom, and have a very positive school attitude. Every morning I think at least one of our students coming to school, we're all smiling, and they're all happy to be here. And that's the truth. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Thank you very much. They're involved in extracurricular activities. We have 80% of our student body or more actively engaged in extracurricular activities, and they perform school and community service activities. So those students who are selected every month, it's really a compliment to them because they're demonstrating excellence above and beyond. We also have ELK students and teenagers of the month that we recognize. They are selected through a nomination process by their teachers. They demonstrate leadership qualities, character, a sense of self-service, and community through civic or school-related activities. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the ELK's Teenager of the Month, Joseph Maimoni from grade 10. Joseph, are you here this evening? He's not, but let's give him a round of applause. He does have Wally Bucks and also a certificate congratulating him that he will receive. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Elementary School Student of the Month from 8th grade, Jane Antonucci. Jane, are you here this evening? Jane, congratulations and happy holidays.
You too.
The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates our Elementary School Teacher of the Month. Before I introduce Mrs. Yelovich, I would like to say that our 21st century skills focus on critical and analytical thinking, and I had the pleasure to observe one of her classes this year. Actually, two of her classes this year. Oh, there you are, where the children were actively engaged and they were actually involved in their own learning, and they took the responsibility for that. Critical analytical thinking was happening from the time I walked into that classroom. I just want to thank you for that. You do an awesome job. And without further ado, this is Christine Yellowbrook. You're a treasure. You're one of my gifts for the holidays. Thank you. The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates ELK's Elementary School Students of the Month of September and October. From 8th grade, Matthew Driscoll, and I did see Matthew this evening. Matthew, come on up. And thank you for saying good morning.
Congratulations.
And for the month of October, our 7th grade student, Evan Floyd. Evan? Make sure he gets his Raleigh books and certificate. The Manasquan Board of Education graduates our Elks Elementary School Students of the Month for November and December. For November, Carissa Ligrizzi. Ligrizzi. Carissa, happy holidays.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. And for December, Kate Capadonna. Kate? Kate, if you could hold on for 1 second and get a picture with the president of the board for your mom. Just move a little closer. All right?
Thanks, man.
Well, you know, this is the moment that prom night, when you look for your pictures, you're going to be fresh.
I didn't want to be in it.
You're welcome.
The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the following students who were recently recognized as commended students by the 2016 National Merit Scholarship Program. They placed in the top 5% of over 1.5 million entered students. That's fabulous. That's epic. Congratulations from 12th grade, Madeline Monaco, from 12th grade, Elsa Papnunen, and from 12th grade, Julia Owenstein. Could you please come up? Ladies, this is truly fabulous. Really? We're talking about 1.5 million students. Ladies, awesome.
Thank you.
Is the newspaper's not here this evening?
They are.
They're here.
I'm pretty sure. Take a picture? No?
I gotta get up for this.
Aren't you the
picture? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't be sorry. Thank you for being here. I really think that this is unbelievable. 1.5 million students, if I can get it in the paper. You mind?
Oh, no.
With the board president?
Here we go.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We often talk about Manasquan having traditions. And with those traditions come alumni who continue to achieve. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate a Manasquan High School alumni, Brittany Ramsey, on being a part of the Brookdale Community College women's soccer team who won in the final round of the Division III women's soccer tournament. Congratulations, and as you can see, there's some statistics that appear on the board. And this is just another example of, once you leave Manasquan, you're still a part of Manasquan, and you still embrace your successes. So having said that, Brittany Ramsey, if you're here this evening, could you please come forward?
I just moved down.
Yeah, I know, right?
But Brittany, before you leave, I didn't ask anybody other questions. But you're an actual alumni of Manasquan High School. If you would, for us, when this holiday season, help us celebrate by telling me your favorite moment or your favorite person from Manasquan. And you can take a look at the administrator's release. Mr. Mark is here. You can say, we came down to his office. It's always a good one.
Mr. Cornegay.
Mr. Cornegay! Well done. Thank you. Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates the Manasquan High School alumni, Aubrey Jones, on being a part of the Brookdale Community College women's soccer team, who won the final round of the Division III Women's Soccer Tournament. Congratulations, and as you can see, those statistics as well appear on the board. And without further ado, and Aubrey, I'm going to ask you the same question. You give me the same answer that you like. So I think out of that, you come forward, Aubrey Jones. Aubrey.
Thank you.
Jones also scored a game-winning goal.
Favorite moment? Favorite person? It's all yours. It's your moment in spotlight.
All right. I don't really have a favorite person. I guess just all the coaches all together, keeping the sports going.
That's great. That's thank you very much for
thank
that.
You.
I appreciate
that.
Thank you. And ladies, thank you very much for being here this evening. It meant a lot to us to help you celebrate your success.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. With that, we now have the audit presentation for this evening. I believe that's next in our presentations.
Hello, good evening. I'm very pleased to come before the board tonight.
It'll just be us.
Somebody say audit?
Yeah,
of course you're out there.
Where are you going?
What happened? I brought the audit up and everybody left.
Yeah. Tonight, let you know that the results of the 2014-15 audit examination were excellent. We found no areas that we need to for improvement. We have excellent internal controls here. The work is done consistently, and we have a procedure for everything in place. And it should also be known that a lot of hard work from the staff and the administration goes into that. It's not easy to achieve, but you have some excellent results here. I'm very pleased to pass that along to the board. Our tests, our inquiries, our observations, our tested physical records were all excellent. And when we come here, everything is ready. Some districts you go to and they have to get things together. We come here and everything is ready for us. It makes for a very thorough and efficient audit. And so I'm very happy to come before the board tonight and tell you that. Also, our financial position is reasonable for our district. We have monies we're putting into reserves for future spending. We also have money we're using to support the budget, to offset taxation, and maintain a stable tax rate. That's all good. And again, a lot of work goes into that in managing the budget from year to year, not only looking at this year, but future years, and seeing that we have a smooth progression as we move ahead. So that's very good as well. Just to touch on a couple of new regulations that came out this year. I know most of the board is used to seeing us here much earlier than this. This year, we have a new requirement issued by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board for accounting for pensions. And that pension information didn't become available to us until mid-November. So that slowed the process. They've actually extended the audit deadline this year to December 21st, which we're working hard to meet, but you're in good shape because you're done and we're ready to go. What that accounting for pensions is, it does not affect your financial position on a budgetary basis, but what we're required to do is take your budgetary financial statements and convert them to generally accepted accounting principle statements. That includes all your debt, includes your compensated absences, and now they're also asking us to include pensions. So you'll see that in some of your statements, but it does not affect your overall financial position. Another new requirement we had this year was with the community disaster loans. Last year, we were required simply to disclose them in our notes to the financial statements to make readers of the report aware of it. This year, the state required us to also include it as part of our long-term debt. So it is now part of your long-term debt. However, that in no way precludes us from the chance to have some of that debt reduced when the process plays itself out at the end of the 3 years. But it's just a new requirement. They want to be conservative and have us put it in there so we have it. Other than that, as I said, things were good, and I'd be happy to take any questions from the board members if you had any. Or if you haven't had a chance to even look at the report as thoroughly as you might like, I'm always available for questions, and you can pass that on to Lynn, or you can contact me directly.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Alsop? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a great holiday season and great New Year.
You too.
Thank you.
You're cool, man.
One of our focuses tonight is to take a look at our park results. One of the requirements of statute is that the results from the park testing are presented to the community in a timely fashion after the conclusion of the testing. And tonight I've asked our director of curriculum, Mrs. Skorinsky, to present our results and also focus on what park is and how prepared we were for park. And I'm very proud of the numbers that Barbara's going to show us this evening because it represents another indicator for us of the quality of our administrative team as well as the staff that serve the students on a daily basis. Barbara, you would? Thank you.
Good evening. As Dr. Cajun said, what we hope to do tonight is we've all heard a lot about park in the media and little snippets of commercials, and then we're supposed to figure out what it's all about. So tonight I'd like to clarify what park is, how the district prepared for the assessment, what our results were, and what we're going to do with these results now that we have them. So hopefully we'll achieve that goal. When did this all start? You know, we just heard about this in the media over the last year as the test approached. But this whole idea started back in 2008. We've had state testing and school standards that are put out by the state back from the 90s is when the standards started. And what are the standards? The standards are telling the school districts what our students need to know and how they show us what they know. And then each state sets their own proficiency level. And we've had this state tests going back to the 70s, which have measured how well our students perform in meeting these expectations. As we started to enter the 21st century, and we realized that students needed to know so much, and educators all over the country were starting to question, are our students prepared for college and careers? And throughout the nation, the sentiment was, maybe we're not doing the best we can for our students. So New Jersey came out with their vision for what they wanted our students in New Jersey to be able to do. And what happened was, this was going on all over the country. Well, to do this, because we were shifting, we wanted to increase our expectations, make things more rigorous, have our students be able to perform at a higher level, we needed new standards. And this discussion was going on all over the country. And what they came up with was the Common Core. And the Common Core is a new set of standards which requires more of our students. It's more, it asks them to be critical thinkers, analyze more. It moved away from memorization and more to, okay, read something or perform a math problem and apply it. Use your knowledge and your thinking skills, and then explain yourself, explain your thinking in this process. So educators all over the country got together and came up with the Common Core. In New Jersey, we started hearing about the Common Core in 2008. Our administration started attending workshops dating all the way back to 2008. And as it started to roll out, 2009, these standards were adopted by New Jersey, and it was required that all schools put these standards in place by 2010. So this has not been, you know, a process that happened overnight. But the flip side was, we were still testing our students based on the old standards. So this is the disconnect that we've been working to alleviate and move forward. So as you'll see, we performed very, let me just put it out there, we did exceptionally well. But you will see some dips, and some of that is accountable for, we had our students, when they took the park for the first time, were still being tested in New Jersey asked simultaneously. Okay, when we moved to the Common Core standards in math, we still had all the content was shifted from grade levels, so we had gaps. So what the test is helping us to do is to figure out where those gaps are and fix them. So this is all a process, it's a learning process. And in spite of all this, our kids did a fabulous job, which we'll see in a second. So what is PARC? PARC is the test for the Common Core. You've heard about the New Jersey ASK, the HESPA, and some of us, I won't date myself, but those names for our state tests have changed over the years, from HSPT to HSPA, from GEPA, and it goes all the way back, but I'm not going that far back. Okay, so we've been testing since the 70s. We adopted the Common Core, which triggered the need for a new test. And what this test was to serve as the state refers to it, as a GPS. Okay, this is how your kids are doing. How can we move them to a higher level? And when you see how they gave us the scores, it gives us a good pathway to follow. But there's a warning from the state, and it's a very good warning. This is the first year of a very, very new test. A lot of comparisons have been made to other national tests, but they're different tests. We're not comparing apples to apples. So it's a baseline for us, and now we have a really strong baseline. And you know, the test is already evolving from last spring to now. So we have to keep that in mind, that this is a process, and it'll take a while for everything to even out and for these results to really truly reflect what our students are doing. Okay, who participated in PARC? Okay, there were, and you can read this, 5 million students in 11 states, the states that participated. So we're being compared nationally. We're being compared to students in New Jersey and then within our school.
We can go back to that for a minute.
Okay, sure.
Now, I want you to realize that there were 26 states that eventually signed up to be involved in the PARC consortium, of which you can see there are 11 states left. Now, as we prepared for PARC, I became very anxious about the test because the test was piloted in several states that found that they did very poorly in it. And because of that, they withdrew from the consortium. The country wasn't ready for the critical analytical thinking skills that we were testing our children on. And because of that, those are the 11 states that were left. And I sat down with several of my administrators and I said to them, as the PARC, let's prepare for the PARC results and get some information together that we could share with the community to lessen the blow. But there isn't. As Barbara said, we exceeded our expectations. I was preparing for what the rest of the country was becoming involved in. And two of the states I reached out were Kentucky and Virginia. Well, I happen to know colleagues there told me some horror stories about the results they got on the test. But you're going to see from tonight the comparison not only with other districts in New Jersey, but comparison with other states. So I really wanted to frame that before we move forward. Yeah, Jim.
Frank, Ohio's now out, I think. So just out of curiosity, moving forward, do we continue to do this now that we're down to 10, 11 states? I mean, not that you have any call, but do you have any idea?
We did so well, I'm going to keep doing this.
No, but I mean,
actually, our governor recently has stated that we're moving away from the Common Core standards, and also we're only going to do PARC for 3 more years. So according to who the next governor is, and also the race to the top is going to stop. Yeah. There's a new federal regulation for No Child Left Behind, this new law that came out that they just put together. So I do not think that after 3 years we will move with PARC. Something else will take its place. Yeah. But we met the challenge,
yeah,
which is unbelievable, really. So thank you.
Okay, so this is all in your packets, and there were some packets in the back if anyone else wanted to see them. So the major difference is from the HESPA, as I said, critical thinking. There are different parts to the test. Our students who took the test in the spring took two administrations. One was a performance-based assessment in language arts or English and math, and then at the end of the year. So they had two different sittings, 3 days each, for the different tests. Another difference was they worked on the computers. So we worked hard as a district, and for scheduling to get all our kids on the computers and make sure our computers were compatible with all the software that we needed and so forth. And for the high school, the big difference was we were tested 9th, 10th, and 11th grade, where previously we just said to 11th grade. Okay, this article came out right after the results of the test came out. New Jersey students beat Park average on most exams. And again, you can read this, but what it's showing is, because we're being compared to other states, New Jersey did really well. And at the bottom, not only did our students exceed some of New Jersey averages, but we also exceeded some of the other states in the country. Okay, so how is this scored? Previously, students were ranked partially proficient, proficient, and highly proficient. Now it's divided into five different categories. Where we want to be is in the green. Okay, meets or exceeds expectations. The numbers that you see in brackets are set for the duration of PARC. The last number five can vary from year to year. They consider that college ready or, you know, college level work. And they told us that that might fluctuate. These are the types of results we get. Again, looking at your packets might be easier to see, but you can see the comparison. If you're looking over on the left, you can see a park, then the state, and then our school district. Okay, they gave us the number, the score number. They gave us what that converted to in the range for exceeds or meets expectations, and the colors are really helpful in telling us where we're at. Over to the right is an example of what we see for each student, and the names obviously are omitted, but it really gives us that GPS, that roadmap of where we need our students to do a little bit better, or where we might need to ramp up instruction, and where we're doing really well. So we want the green arrows going up. They're kind of in the middle. If they're blue and red are, okay, this is where we need to focus. And I just put another math one up there so you can see that we got them for both English and like regards to math. Okay, as I said, it was a really big endeavor to get the district ready for PARC. It took everybody in every building, administrators, teachers, students, community, Board of Education, to make this work, and it worked really well. Okay, so let's see how we did. Okay, what I've done is I've cut and pasted the different grade levels and content areas for you so you can see it, but as we go forward, you can see in a bar graph and be able to look at it much easier. All right, so we have third, fourth, and fifth grade language arts. And what's very interesting is, and it's great, that we have our percentage for meets and exceeds expectations for the almost for every class has surpassed the PARC participants and the state. And then if you look at our average score, that is higher also, which is very interesting. So that even if we have matched the state, our average score comes out higher. So our top scores were clearly higher. Okay, then we do the same thing for 6, 7, and 8. And here you can see it really well. Okay, so we're the green, and this is a combination of meets and exceeds expectations for 3 through 8. And you can see, how well we did. The purplish color is PARC, the blue is New Jersey, and the green is Massillon. Okay, we have the same thing for math, grades 3 through 5. And then 6, 7, and 8. With 8th grade, what you're going to see is we had 29 students taking high school courses. Actually 31 because 2 took geometry, so that although you might say, oh, our numbers are down there, well, no, because we had some really exceptional students who are in a different category. and so you'll see that also. And this is what our scores looked like from 3 through 8 in mathematics.
Could you describe what's going on in eighth grade again? I don't get what you just
said. Okay, when I go to the next slide, you'll see our eighth graders, there's the eighth grade math, and then they can take Algebra 1 or Geometry, depending on where they tracked. So those students are grouped in a different category, which you'll see in a second. Okay, so here we have the Algebra 1. We had 29 eighth graders take our high school Algebra 1 course, and 2 students took Geometry. There's not too much information there. It was withheld for confidentiality because you're only talking about 2 students. Okay, so this is how it looks like. So these are the rest of our eighth graders.
Right, okay. Makes sense now.
So, looks good. Okay. Then our English over at the high school. Okay. If you had looked at that article, it commented that our ninth graders throughout the New Jersey had a more difficult time meeting and exceeding expectations. We still did really nicely. My personal feeling is that's an that's a result of still having New Jersey Ask, that big transition from New Jersey Ask to Park. But if you can look, you'll see in the graph, our 10th graders did really well. Our 11th graders just blew this test out of the water here. We had 3 perfect scores, 850. So it was really exciting. Okay, then our mathematics, the end of the year courses, which is our Algebra 1, our Algebra 2, and our Geometry. Okay, before we go to these scores, we only tested our students in the spring, okay? So our fall students, because we're on the semester, did not test. So our results, we have to keep in mind who we tested, okay? So a lot of our honors classes are given in the fall. They were not incorporated into this. So, you know, we look at these numbers and we might say, okay, you know, we have a problem here, which we believe there's some gaps in our instruction that we're going to improve. But on the other hand, there's a whole group of students that we didn't test. So again, this is a baseline for us, and we have to take this into account. So we do see that we have some work to do in our math, and we're looking at our curriculum, and we're looking to see where the holes are. Okay, so what do we do with all this information? For us, this is the first time that students took, of all grade levels, took a computer-based test. For almost all grade levels, the percent of Manasquan school students met or exceeded expectations was higher than the Park and the state averages. Our student success on this test that was highly criticized and that was in the media and deemed too hard, I think we should celebrate the successes that our students had. They did a really fabulous job. As it's, the test itself is perfected, they've changed it. We're not having 2 tests anymore. Like in the spring, they had to take the performance-based and the end of the year. It's going to be 1 test this spring. Okay, so that's a change that's going to take place. We were able to give our fall students the test on their tablets, which was fabulous. It was part of instruction. They sat in their classrooms. It was like, I do this every day, and now I'm doing it again. We had more students take the test, really high commitment. So, the buy-in, the media is dying down, and we're doing a great job, and I think we're gonna see even better results. And so our goal is to get more of our students to exceed expectations. We had a huge number meet expectations. We want to get even more exceeding expectations. And we know we have some work to do in the math and find out where our holes are with the transition from the core curriculum content standard to the Common Core. Okay, thank you.
Just a compliment to my administrative team. Thank you. This, but without you, it would not be possible, and also the staff. I just don't want you to take this for granted. This is unbelievable in what you just saw. There's many districts in the state of New Jersey who are presenting numbers that don't come close to these. So I'll take full credit for it. Tonight we have two more presentations, and I would like to read what's on each plaque. Presented to James Walsh and also Kenneth Clayton, in recognition for your outstanding and dedicated service on the Management Board of Education, this is for James, and to the youth of our community from 2013-2015. Elizabeth Andrews once said, "The greatest gift you can give someone is your time. Because when you give your time, you are giving a portion of your life that you'll never get back." And that's true. And we spend a lot of time here with children. I say thank you. Because I do realize, without Ken and yourself, the possibility of me being here might not have happened. I want to thank you for that. We're going to miss you. So with that, Jim, can come forward, please.
I spoke to Mr. Clayton yesterday. He's out of state, but he wanted to thank everybody and to wish Mr. Pisone the best of luck.
We need seven to vote on the Senate district items.
To vote on the Senate
district items.
We have six. So if you want to give a call.
Okay.
Wasn't here.
As we move to the committee of a whole meeting, education, curriculum, and technology, I would like to read a statement I got focusing on the College Board. Congratulations. I'm going to ask Mr. McCarthy to speak about this. Congratulations. The College Board is pleased to share the exciting news that your district has earned the position on the 6th annual AP District Honor Roll. The annual AP District Honor Roll recognizes districts for increasing access to advanced placement coursework while maintaining or increasing the percentage of students earning scores of 3 or higher on AP exams. Honor Roll districts defy the expectation that expanding access automatically results in a decline in the percentage of exams earning scores of 3 or better. Reaching these goals indicates that your district is successfully identifying motivated, academically prepared students who are likely to benefit from rigorous AP coursework. Sean, I just want to congratulate you and administrative team, especially Mr. Coppola, who focused on increasing access to advanced placement through opening the doors. And I want to thank you for that. Would you like to comment on that at all? Of course you do, since I put you on the spot.
Thank you for that recognition. And we'd like to congratulate the teachers and the students who did all that work to get those great scores. And we'd like to continue to add to our AP list and increase that opportunities for more kids. But thank you, Dr. Davis.
Thank you. Really appreciate that. Our personnel items will be discussed in executive session, as well as our legal items. Now we're going to move to the policy section of tonight's board meeting. And I want to thank the board for their due diligence in going through their Friday packet, which contained 19 policies. And as you look at your policies, in the very beginning, your first sheet focuses on those policies that are for revision, those policies that are for adoption this evening, and those policies that we have presented to you, especially focusing on outstanding food service charges and transgender students, if you would like to adopt them. So for discussion this evening, I'm going to quickly go through, as you can see on top of your synopsis, we have the policies that are for revision. Now, policy 5516, which is use of electronic, and they should be tabbed for you as well, use of electronic communication and recording devices, 3322, staff members' use of personal cellular telephones, and P4322, staff members' use of personnel cellular telephones and other communication devices. One is for certificated staff, and one is for staff that is not certificated. We do have options to choose there. Before we get to those, I was going to ask if anybody had any questions regarding any of the policies that come before. And for the public purpose, I will read what those policies are. The evaluation of the superintendent, which has a revision. The evaluation of teachers, which has a revision. The evaluation of teaching staff members, excluding teachers and administrators, that has a revision. Evaluation of administrators, excluding principals, vice principals, and assistant principals, that has a revision. Family leave. Also, administration of medication, screening of dyslexia, suspected gang activity, school nutrition programs, and opening exercises and ceremonies. They all contain revisions which are mandated by the state. Now, if you have any questions, also in your packet, the first three pages, focus on a synopsis of that policy as well. I tried to make it as easy as possible for us to look at these this evening. Before we got into those, we have to take options for. Having said that, is there any question about any one of the policies that do not require the choice of an option? Because we'll focus on those individually. I'll take that as a no, and we will move forward. Now, 5516, and it should be tabbed for you, is the first policy that requires an option. Is a mandated policy. It has been revised.
It's the blue tab.
And it is the blue tab. Pink in my file, blue in yours. Thank you for that.
Mine's yellow.
Okay, it's the first tab.
Or might be yellow.
Yellow.
Mine's yellow.
Yellow.
We are a community of many different tab colors. Having said that, as you peruse the beginning of this, you can see that our options start at the bottom of the page. And we have to select one of the following options. And you have two options to choose from. Would you like me to read them, or are we okay?
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure.
So does this include telephones? Because, you know, cell phones you can record.
Wireless telephones.
They're cameras, cellular, and wireless telephones, pagers, beepers. Boy, that's a blast from the past.
Laptop computers, I don't think anybody has a pager anymore, do they?
I don't think.
Yeah.
It's the Motorola guy.
The Motorola.
So they wouldn't be able to bring their phones if we choose the part.
Well, if you choose one, a student is not permitted to bring, possess, use. In today's society, that might be very difficult for my administrative team to enforce. However, if you require us to do that, we would do our best to make sure that happens. So I would, my suggestion would be, as you turn the page, the second one, the second choice.
Mm-hmm. I think the second.
Does everyone agree with the second choice?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone disagree with the second choice? Go.
Thank you for that. Then as we move to the, we have to select one of the following alternatives below. I believe if you chose the second option, there's another option for us to choose on the page 3 of 4. Do you see that? Okay. Now, to connect with the first choice, I would think the second choice would be the one that we would choose here as well.
Does everyone agree with the second choice?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Does anyone disagree?
And there are three choices for the person who is to enforce the second choice. And we have the board, we have the superintendent, and always my favorite choice, we have the principal. So if we all would agree with that, we would have the principal fill in that first spot. And then the student, again, must submit a written request and establish his satisfaction of, again, you have a choice, board, superintendent, or favorite, the principal. Good? Okay. And then also, 3, board, superintendent, or principal. Good. Sorry, Tommy. But that's a wonderful chair you sit in. Select one of the following alternatives below. Either the school year, specific number of month, or specific number of weeks. And as I read the policy, I was looking at 8 weeks for this. With all seriousness, I thought that a time period of 2 months might fit us better in regards to student needs than a whole year. But that would be up to discussion tonight. So you have a choice of the school year for following the options that you chose in this policy, specific number of months, or a specific number of weeks regarding a student getting permission to utilize their phone for these purposes.
What would happen after the 8 weeks? Yeah. They'd have to re-up?
Be revised, yeah.
Aren't you creating a lot of work for the person that has to approve?
But doing it weeks, isn't that would be the least restrictive, too. You wouldn't want to lock somebody into to a year if there was extenuating circumstances. At least if you left it open with the weeks, then the principal could decide. That's the way I read it.
Or you could do it for 12 weeks if you feel you wanted a longer period of time, which would be 3 months. Semesters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make it easier for the principal to decide when to do it as opposed to locking something for a year.
I think if the less time you have, the more flexible the policy would be.
And I think that's what you want.
Yeah. 8 or 12?
8.
I'm afraid.
8?
8.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. As we move forward, we'll now move to 3322. And as you can see, 3322, as opposed to 3342, focuses on electronic communications, a non-school related personal matter using a personal cell phone. I mean, you can read this. The lines are what has been taken out of the last policy. So that's where the revision lies.
Do you have a recommendation?
Actually, they were so close, the 4 choices that we had, I wanted to hear from you.
I think number 4. Because I think the difference really, it's only where they can use it.
Right.
So it makes it easier, I would think, to have it somewhere inside or outside the school.
Okay, number four states the communication is made during the teaching staff's duty-free lunch, which is consistent through all, or break periods and or preparation periods for teaching staff, and is made outside the presence of students. And then if we check the other box, it's either in an area inside or outside the school building designated by the teaching staff member's principal or immediate supervisor.
Do we really need that?
We do not need that.
Well, it says that they can use it inside or outside the school. The other one says just...
We don't need a special area designated for people to use that, do we?
I don't think so, no. I don't think we have a problem. Understand that these policies are mandated and these revisions and options we have to choose. I'm not presenting them this evening because we have a problem in our learning environment. I don't believe we do. I think
so. Four is the least restrictive, and we don't need a designated area.
That's correct.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and there's I don't see any other options there. So I would think then that for 4322 would be four as well.
Bless you.
I would love to say four as well, but
there's no four.
You only have two. How are you then? God bless you. So I would think, is everybody in agreement with two? Anyone?
I understand.
Thank you.
I mean, what's the least restrictive? I don't understand. I don't even understand the difference between the two.
There's one.
It's either one or two without the area.
Right, without the area. I think that's the only thing. The one says just inside. The second one says in
out.
Or out.
Right.
Right.
So it's basically just one and don't check the area.
Yeah.
Okay, so one it is.
Mm-hmm. It's just in or out.
Right, does that make, inside. I mean.
What's the difference between them?
I don't know.
Very little.
It's like an intelligence test, you know, because you went.
And you know,
one says inside, one says outside.
Yeah.
I waited till your last meeting to do this test, and you passed 100%. Thank you for that. Okay, so those, Glenn, are the areas of where we need choices. So those choices will be marked, and we will then vote on those at the next meeting, correct? For adoption, the evaluation of principals, vice principals, and assistant principals, which was revised. And then there are three that are not mandated, but we could choose. And the reason I have them tonight is because I think they do require your attention. Service animals, which I think serve a very valuable purpose to students. Outstanding food service charges, who in a minute I'm going to turn over to our business administrator to focus on. And also transgender students, which I think is a policy that we should have to protect our student body in case we have a transgender student that needs our attention, we'll have a policy in place.
Right. Can we, the food services charge is just two options. Can we do that one first?
You sure can. Lynn, food service?
We currently do not have a policy regarding food service charges. And this policy reviews, goes over how we handle electing the charges if we do have it. So we have two options. On the eighth calendar day from the date of the second notice, so the policy talks about the notices that we have to give to the parents. So your first option is we will not serve breakfast or lunch, as applicable, beginning with the eighth calendar day from the date of the second notice. And the second option is the student will be provided a basic lunch that will contain the essentials in balanced nutritional selections as prescribed by the state, beginning on the 8th calendar day from the second, from the date of the second notice.
So to simplify that, on the, after the notice, we're still going to feed the child, right? Isn't that, is that the simplest way to look at it?
On the second option, yes.
Right.
On the first option, no, it says will not be served.
Right. So my question is, on the 8th day, are we still going to feed the child? I would say, I would ask for yes.
Yes.
Does anybody say no? Then we're done with that one.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple.
I agree.
Agree.
Okay. I penalize my daughter because I'm late paying my bills. Let's feed them. Okay.
So we're good with that, Jeremy? Okay. Service animals is next. 5337. As you can see, it's focusing on the Americans with Disabilities Act and developing the possibility, if we ever came to the need or the focus through our special education services, for a service animal, we would have a policy in place. Okay.
Yeah. Is anyone opposed to having that policy in place?
Nope.
Okay. Next.
I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm surprised nobody brought it up about the miniature.
Just trying to move it along.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I did read it.
You did?
Just trying to move it along.
Okay. Thank you. And also, I feel the transgender students is something that we should focus on. But what I would like you to do with that is I'm going to have that on the next agenda as well. And I would like you to just read it thoroughly, and if you feel, because that's something that might come to our attention down the line, because there are options associated with that as well, and we'll take a little more time with that. Okay?
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Finance.
Yes, we announce to the finance section of our committee of the whole, and I'm going to turn this over to our business administrator, if I may.
Thank you. Just a very brief update on Sustainable Jersey for Schools. On the agenda this evening, you'll see a motion to accept two grants through Sustainable Jersey for Schools. I'd like to thank everyone that was involved in assisting in putting those grant applications together. One grant application is in the amount of $10,000, and that is to replace the older style halide lighting in the elementary gymnasium with new LED lighting. And the second one was for $2,000 in the elementary school for a curriculum called Mindfulness Curriculum, which is actually professional development for four selected teaching staff members. They will be trained on how to help their students be thoughtful in their words and actions. So this ties in with our Respect Week and our character building, and also HIB situations in the district. This evening, you heard the district has had a favorable audit for the 14-15 school year. I feel very strongly that I have to let everyone know that this is an accomplishment that does not solely the work of the business administrator. So there's a number of people that I would like to acknowledge. And that being said, it would be the administrative team and their assistants, the central fund treasurer, the activity advisors, the superintendent's office, and the business office. So thank you to everyone involved for a job well done. In your packet this evening, moving on to building and grounds, in your packet this evening for the board members, you have three pages that look like this. If you could find them for our next discussion, the map of the high school. So in the three pages, we've had a request from Matthew Ertl to install some type of fencing in front of the elementary school where the Eagle Scout project was completed. He sent me this photo that he had taken from in front of the Brielle Elementary School of the fencing with the chain. I did have Mr. Bigley get a proposal to install 300 feet of this type of fencing just so we could have a conversation about it tonight. The cost to do 300 feet is about $3,300. Okay. So the question that we'd like to discuss tonight, is there interest in installing a fence in front of the elementary school? And would you like this type of fence or some other type of fence, if you'd like a fence at all?
Why are we putting the fence up in front of the school?
The person who created the product, the project, has requested of us a way to mark it off so students refrain from walking on the grass. And that's why Lynn is bringing it to you this evening, correct?
Correct.
So do you think that would happen, nobody walking? I mean, I'm looking at this fence here, I'm thinking they're gonna be jumping over the...
My opinion?
Or falling, tripping over it.
And this is just my opinion?
Yeah.
I don't think, and I'd gladly hear from you, Colleen and Rich, I don't think we need a fence as of we speak. I would like to see how we progress with that area and see if students, they're gonna walk on it. Students are gonna be students, children are gonna be children. They're gonna roll on it, they're gonna play in the snow on it. But I think that if we maintain it properly, we can continue to have that look the way it does. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of thought went into this project, and the irrigation that we included in the project to make sure that it would be maintained properly, all of that, I thought at the time, was so that we can maintain the property. It would be a tremendous improvement over what was there, but we'd maintain the same atmosphere that the property's had in the past, and that is kids run on it and play on it after school for a couple of minutes, and that's always how it's been, and I don't think we need to move away from that. I think that by putting up a fence, what are we creating there? We're creating an area that's of no use to anyone, whether it be passive or
And I'll just know from a parent's perspective, picking up your children, when that area was roped off, they first installed it, it made it very difficult to move around the building to pick up your child.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have, like in my case, I have a child that's on the right side of the building, and then you have to move from there to the other side to pick up your child.
It's very congested. I mean, you're asking teachers to identify which parent is taking which, and I understand the idea behind the fence, I do. But when you're asking everyone to identify which, you know, the parent or the guardian that's taking the child at the end of the day, it's a pretty, you need a little bit of space to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you fence it off, I think you're changing the look of the front of the school, and that wasn't the plan. The reason we put the irrigation in was so that it could be maintained, and it could stay, it could handle the average use that property's had for as many years as I can remember, and that is that kids like to run around on it for 15 minutes after school, and they're all gone in half an hour. So it's not a tremendous, you know, we're not playing games on it, but I don't think we need to fence it off either. That's just my opinion.
Gene?
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
If I may, before we move to my superintendent's report, focus on the grant concept.
Yes, and I have one more item before you move to the superintendent's report.
That's why I said if I may. Go ahead. You first.
Okay. So the diagram of the high school. Mr. Place and I met with Mrs. Crowning and Mrs. Kozik about a week ago regarding the location of the high school garden, which was grant funded. Keeping in mind, we have a referendum coming up, the locations were discussed and they're prioritized based on this chart. So I just would like to quickly go over them. Option one, which is as you're looking at your chart, is to the right of the existing tennis courts. Okay, this is the preferred option. Water, sunlight, and storage are available in that location. Option two, which is over by the board office, in that little strip of grass that's actually runs right next to the porch and goes back parallel to Dr. Cajun's office, okay? It's a small strip of grass, but it would be large enough. There's water, sunlight, and storage also available there. However, it's a longer walk for the students to get there, which takes time. Even if it's 5 minutes each way, it takes time away from their class time that they're in transit to get to the garden location. And option number three, which is back next to the existing snack shack. If you look at your chart, it's actually behind it. It's a little bit of a treed section there. So water and storage are available. However, sunlight may not be the best at this location. That was their third option. So these one, two, and three are prioritized based on their recommendations to Mr. Place and I. Mr. Place and I, we agree option number one is the best, but with the referendum coming up and a proposed project, we just wanted to make sure the board is fully aware of where this raised bed garden would be installed.
And when would it be installed?
In the spring.
Okay.
Is there any negative to option number one?
The one thing we did discuss is there are classroom windows right there. However, right now PE classes go outside during the day and they use the existing tennis courts, and it does not seem to be a problem. So there's already student activity outside during the day in that corner of school property. And I believe, Mr. Place, did you say they were technology rooms right there this year?
One
is a technology room.
I think so. The other consideration would be the way the potential referendum, when they're accessing the building for construction, mm-hmm. whether it be doors or windows or things like that, are they gonna be coming through that direction? I think if you put it by the board office, you wouldn't eliminate that possibility. But I don't know that's a problem. I'm just looking forward. You don't want to build a garden that's going to get destroyed. I don't think.
Correct.
I have a question about the garden. Is this a garden club? Will the club be taking care of it, or will it be part of a curriculum, science, or what exactly?
It is actually. It will be integrated into the curriculum the way the grant was written. There are two garden co-advisors. The environmental club will be working on the garden, along with students from various science classes. But it will be integrated into the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's no objection to number one, before we move ahead with that, I can certainly speak to Mr. Garrison and make sure that that's not going to be, and also Mr. Edwards, that's not going to be any kind of thoroughfare there regarding the project.
Aren't there trees there?
There are, but there's enough room up by the building.
Enough sunlight.
Yeah, like I said, they're raised beds, so they can be in any configuration. You can actually create the beds to fit the space you have. Mm-hmm. So there's some shrubs up against the building right now.
Everyone good with that selection?
How is it going to be, or do you know yet, how it's going to be configured and how it's going to be fenced off and things like that? Because now you're moving towards the front of the building. What's it going to look like from the street?
I think what they would need to do is, once they know that we're all okay with this option, is I think they would need to draw out the configuration of the garden, because originally they did have a footprint that we included with the grant, but that's subject to change based on the space that's available. And we all, you know, we knew and we understood that there was an upcoming project. So that configuration certainly can change. So, I mean, if you'd like to have something drawn up, we can present again in January.
I just know that when they did the garden at the elementary school, then we had a fencing issue, and then we didn't have a fencing issue. I just want to make sure that before we go forward and put something out there that people are going to invest their time in, that we're all clear as to what it's going to look like when it's done and how it's going to impact the rest of the front of the building.
Open, leave option one and two open, get an idea of what they're going to do, and then take it from there.
This wouldn't precede the referendum. What if? I mean, because obviously, would you want?
They're going to break ground in the spring.
In the spring, they'd be breaking ground. So
how soon, the referendum gets voted through, how soon do we move on that?
Spring.
Hopefully in spring.
Mm-hmm. So okay. I think that our first focus was to obtain the grant, and we got it.
Right.
Next is to focus on where we would plant. And then once the referendum passes, we'll see exactly the timing factor of when we could plant, because we're going to have to wait to see exactly how the referendum is going to impact that particular garden. So I think that's a great idea, Jim.
And what do we have, 12 months? We need to use the grant money within a 12-month period of time?
Approximately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Approximately.
So I think we're fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I just want to compliment the administrative team and Lynn. This marks how many grants now that we've achieved?
Four or five. Somewhere.
I'd say I was thinking in my mind four, inclusive of the LED lights, which just went on, and that's because of the letters that you have written, and even our energy conservation has been excellent. But it's all because of your hard work, and I want to thank you for that. And delegation becomes a skill only when it's successful. If it wasn't successful, then it would be a problem for me. But it has been successful, and I want to thank the people who are getting it done. With that, we now move towards our enrollment, which is document A. Total enrollment, 1,593. In the high school, 956. In the elementary school, 637. With that, we'll now take a look at our fire drills in the high school and the elementary school. There are no HIB reports this evening. in the high school. We have a comparison of attendance from November 14, 2014, November 2015. As you can see, the numbers there, the average daily attendance in November 2014 was 929, November 2015 889. In the elementary school, we see November 14th 594 and November 15th 612. The high school, November 23rd and November 12th, we had drills. November 23rd, we had a fire drill. Length of drill was 8 minutes. And November 12th, we had a 15-minute shelter-in-place drill. At the elementary school, on November 23rd, for 4 minutes, we had a fire drill. Well done. November 30th, we had a 10-minute interior threat lockdown drill. Thank you very much for focusing on our drills. Every month, you guys do this and do it well. And that concludes Superintendent's report.
Do we have a motion to accept the Superintendent's report?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, seconded by Mr. Catani. Any discussion? Catani?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Wolf?
Yes.
Carried.
We're to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited amount of time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer and should give their names, addresses, and any group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right, through its presiding officer, to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion, or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on agenda items only, please. Would anybody from the public like to be heard? Seeing no one, we are on to the Manasquan general items. We're going to group numbers 12 through 27 together. Does anybody need anything separated 12 to 27? All good. Do we have a motion for items 12 through 27? Mr. Walsh. Second. Mr. Catani. Any discussion on any of these items? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
We're going to need a motion to table items 28 through 37 because we do not have a quorum with the sending districts represented. Do we have a motion to table? Mr. Walsh. Second by Mr. Serino. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
For our attorney? Item number 33, the recommendation of approval of following off-site facilities during the winter season at no cost to the district. The lab gymnastics, cheerleading practice, and St. Dennis Gymnasium, which I wanted to start practice tomorrow for the freshmen. Am I to assume that we cannot do there? Is a way that we can move to facilitate that without a quorum this evening from the sending districts? Yes, it's
which school?
This would be the high school. Okay, I just thought I'd ask. Thank you.
Okay. We are to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business that they'd like to bring up? Any new business? We are a second public forum. Anyone would like to be heard on any item, agenda, or otherwise? Seeing no one. We are to our executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Barrett and Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the 9 subject matters listed in 12B of the Act, whereas it is recommended by the superintendent the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas that the board hereby declares its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected through disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Madison Square Board of Education, the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items.
I have a question.
If we don't have a quorum, can we still go into executive session to discuss items that pertain to the high school?
You have a quorum to go into the executive session, we're not going to take action on the discussion.
Okay, thank you. Item one, confidential matters per statute or court order, which is a student matter. Number seven, litigation or conflict matters or attorney-client privilege, which deals with pending litigations. And number eight, personnel matters, which will be deal with hiring and leaves of absence. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I guess that's 60 minutes.
60 minutes.
Yeah. It'll be shorter than 60 minutes. Mr. Serino, seconded by Mr. Walsh. Sandy? Sandy.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. You want me to come in?